Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone, to Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday, September the 25th at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Our topic today is natural order organizing, and our virtual studio today is Helen Kornblum. We will get to her in a second, but before we get into today's topic, I just want to make a couple announcements. If you're listening to this show and didn't listen to last week's show, last week was computers, a metaphor that can help those with ADD. We had several people respond to that show positively, and it was a great segue into today because it talked about computer and metaphor and the concept of virtual RAM and kind of how to organize yourself. So today I'm excited to have Helen with us, who's a professional organizer. So if you listen to this show, you might also consider going back and listening to that one. Next week I'm going to be out of town at a conference, so there'll be no show next Friday, but next week I'm having the Metafocus Mind with Dr. Siegel on. That's going to be fun. The following week we'll take off, and then the next week we're going to have the many versions of attention deficit disorder with fellow coach Dan Prewitt, who was on last week. That'll be real exciting. And then the following week I'm having Barbara Luther, who is the head of training at the ADD Coaching Academy, come on, and we'll be talking about what an ADD coach is and where to find one. So with that behind us, today, again, in our virtual studio, I have Helen Kornblum. She's a professional organizer and a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers. She's also in a national study group on chronic organization, and I'm excited to have her with us in the studio today. So welcome, Helen.
It's good to be here, Jeff. Hi.
I'm real excited about today's topic because organization, whether you're in business or an individual or some of those out there, adults that are listening that have attention deficit disorder, it's always the top mind. Everybody's always interested in how they can get better organized. So for today, I guess what I'd like to do is start off by tell us a little bit about your philosophy as a professional organizer, how you go about it, and then we can kind of talk about what it looks like and maybe some people that you worked with and how you've helped them.
Sure. Well, my philosophy dovetails quite a bit with what you're doing, which is I start off with where the person or the client is. I don't come breathing into someone's life and through the front door and say, well, I'm here and this is how you're going to do it, because that might be well and good for me, but it's not honoring the individual that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why I named my business Natural Order, and it took me a long time to come to that business name, because it's not my natural order that matters, it's the other person's natural order. So what I do is I ask a lot of questions, and sometimes they're kind of funny. I'll say to people, what are you doing here? You know, if we're in a home office or a business office, and then I'll say, what are you supposed to be doing in here? Because sometimes their environment defeats their very best efforts to be productive and get the things that they want to get done. I listen very carefully. I ask them what types of systems or habits they have already developed. And by system, I just mean a consistent way of doing something that works for them. And sometimes I'll hear discrepancies. They'll do it one way, then they'll do it another way, or they'll be able to say, I haven't found a way that I'm really comfortable doing it yet.
I was excited about having you on the show because I work with people a lot of times who want to talk about coaching to get organized. And it's funny because I'll say, you know, how have you organized yourself in the past? And they say, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because, well, you made it to this call and you've made it to some other things. So something is working.
That's right.
They haven't really paid attention to it. So I love your philosophy here.
Sometimes they are comparing themselves to what they think is a social norm. And I can tell you a story about this right off the bat.
Please.
I was working with a UF professor, and we had organized her office, and that's another little case study I have to illustrate something else. But when we got done, she said to me, I thought we were finished. And she said, oh, no. She said, now I need some help from you about management. She's conducting weekly meetings. And she said to me, I want to know about conducting a meeting. And, of course, my first response was, well, tell me what you're doing now. And she told me, and I was taking notes. For some reason, she seemed to feel that she was falling short. And I did ask her at the outset, what's your priority for each one of these meetings? And that she had very clearly defined. And so I sketched out what she was telling me onto sort of a checklist sheet, and I showed it to her, and I said, this seems to me what you are doing. Now, when you look at this, do you see a lapse? Is there something that's falling through the cracks that you're not getting to? Is it not smooth? Do you have a sense that your graduate students in this meeting aren't getting the point of it all? And she said, no. And then she said, the only thing that I'm not doing is any sort of follow-up to remind them what we discussed, what decisions were made, and who is going to follow through with what. And I listened to her, and I said, perfect. You put that in. You just developed it. So
you know that,
she was so unsure of herself, but basically she was doing it fine.
That is so powerful. So much of coaching sometimes is people come in and you say, well, what are you paying attention to, or how are you doing it now, and you mirror it back to them. And the moment that you do that, they actually realize what they are doing, and they just take it and they add a couple things and build on themselves, like, hey, following up in this particular situation. And in mirroring it back, to they actually realize, hey, I do have a system, and they're conscious of it. So that's exciting.
It's the being conscious of it, exactly. And to have confidence in themselves that they're not falling short in any way. And I run into that a lot, actually, where people are sure that something is broken. And, you know, everybody could use a little improvement. There's a little bit of fine-tuning when you get a fresh pair of eyes looking at something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always a catastrophe. And I do find sometimes people with ADD are very hard on themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They spend so much time trying to do it the way everybody else is telling them to do it. But as you had said earlier, your way might not be my way or anybody else's way.
Exactly. And this same professor, what you just said, just triggered the rest of this story. When our first meeting, she told me she was very unhappy about the scheduling aspect of her office life because the university was insisting that she use the department computer programming, and
mm-hmm.
it's one of these calendar programs. And I said to her, well, did you have difficulty learning how to use it? She said, no, that's not the problem. I can enter my stuff in. But it doesn't work for me during the day. I don't look at it. I'm always on the run. I'm never around here to check it. And so sometimes I forget, you know, what meetings I have. And I asked her to run off a page, and I would have been unhappy with that. The print was very small. It had no excitement to it whatsoever. And I thought, oh, this really isn't such a good deal. And then I said to her, what's your preference for keeping your schedule and knowing when your next meeting is? If it's not the computer, then what do you want to use? Oh, pencil and paper. I said, fine. Who's stopping you from doing that? I said, what your department wants from you is probably just so that people can find you when you're not in your office, and they have a handle on where their staff or faculty is at any given time. Not so, you know, not so unreasonable. And she said, well, that part I can do. And I said, great. Tell me about your day. And, you know, I noticed there are some people, when they tell you about their day, they'll start off with 7 a.m. and 7:30
mm-hmm.
and 8 o'clock. And so it's very categorized, and that's how their minds work in those snatches of time. When she started to talk about her day, I heard morning, and then I heard lunch appointments, and then I heard afternoon, and then I heard dinner because she had some, you know, professional obligations for that, and then I heard evening. And so I just took a plain piece of paper and sketched out these areas for her to fill in. And this could be kept as a template on the computer. I wasn't sure how strong her bias was against, you know, having it in the computer. Turns out it was fine. She could enter everything in the computer, and then she could run it off. And along with seeing her activities, then she could draw out arrows that said calls to make, emails to send, things to bring to the meetings that she had for that day, you know, don't forget, something called loose ends, and there was plenty of room to write on that sheet as she moved around to add things to. And the other thing that I knew about her was that she was very oriented toward color. And I said to her, how are you going to find this calendar on your desk? It's right now it's on a piece of white paper. How are you going to know where your schedule is at any given time? And she smiled at me and she said, oh, I'm going to run it off on colored paper, aren't I? Wonderful.
Helen, if I may, this is oh, God, I love this. In the theme of this show and a lot of what I do as an attention coach, there's so much here. As an attention coach, I use what I call insightful thinking, and that's to look for not how it's described, or kind of actually how it actually works. And you're picking up about the categories, the morning, noon, and afternoon. Some people really organize that information in terms of categories or chunks of time.
Mm-hmm.
The physicalness of writing stuff out, I know some people, to actually pay attention and to remember it, the physical act of writing is like the thing that actually kind of helps them remember.
Exactly.
The visual, using the colors to bring that out. From my perspective as a coach, when I'm working with somebody, what I want to do is I want to know how they naturally work. So if they do think in categories and they are visual and they are a kinesthetic learner, when we know how that works, it's easy to start to look at what systems might naturally work for them. And what I'm hearing you say is that's basically what you're doing. You're sitting down and say, tell me about what's going on, and insightfully, you're picking up those clues and building, or you're not building, together you guys are building a customized solution that works for that particular individual that's based on how they naturally do it.
Right, and I'm glad you said together, because I've had people say to me, well, can't you come over and just do it while I'm out? Number one, for legal reasons, I would never do it that way. But number two, they're missing the point because I need them. They're in charge of the relationship. What organizers are really supposed to be all about is possibilities and ideas. So I can throw out lots of ideas, and I have, and I've had a client look at me and say, oh, come on, you know that'll never work. Okay, that's fine. They know themselves, and that's the part that I don't know so well. So that's what I'm always looking for, and it's been a wonderful stimulation for me because it pushes my creativity as well to think beyond my own linear world. I always say that my ADDers are circular thinkers, which is rich and creative and involved and sometimes unexpected in the paths that it leads, and it can be a lot of fun.
I promise everybody out there this is not scripted. I didn't tell her what to say here. Helen, I just released a product on my website called Insightful Thinking, How It Can Help You. And the presentation is really about understanding the difference between methodical thinking and what I call insightful thinking. And fundamentally, the difference between the two of them is insightful thinking is the creative, it's making unexpected associations. It's seeing things or patterns that weren't there before, as opposed to methodical, which is, you know, route step one, two, three, four. And I work with a lot of people, and I say, you know, coaching is not a methodical thinking process to find solutions. It's insightful. It's looking for the patterns and stuff that's there. And what you're describing and working with a person and starting and they have their own insights as to what's going on, you're just helping them pay attention and working together to find out. At the end, when you're done, sometimes it's like, well, this is obvious. How come I didn't do this before? Well, because you weren't paying attention to it.
And that's exactly right. And it's not something that's, you know, I never handle it in a pejorative way because you just didn't think of it before. You were limiting your own thinking in a way. But heck, we all do that. And all of us are resistant to change. And that's the other thing that happens to an organizer is very often we are expected to work on space. And even in space considerations, you're going to change habits. What could make us more resistant than having to change habits? And so it's better if you're working together and you're just trying things on for size to see if maybe it would fit. And it is amazing to me how many aha moments, and I learned that term from you, Jeff, actually, hearing your presentation, when I see someone who suddenly responds to one of the suggestions that I've made and I just see that little new garment slipping on, it fits them, and they can do it. And then I just, you know, it was their idea because they're the ones who are going to make it work, not me.
Absolutely.
I can't force somebody into a coat that's two sizes too big. But
yeah, I've always said that the aha is like the holy grail of coaching.
Mm-hmm, right.
When all of a sudden they look at it differently and they see, oh, just like an example before, hey, this is kind of what you're doing. Oh, that's how I do it. All I do is just follow up and I'm good to go. That's right.
And, you know, I have another example of taking the methodical and changing it into something more useful through an aha moment. Again, this is...
Helen, if we may, what I'd like to do right now is run to a commercial break real quick.
Sure.
And then we come back. If you could go through that and then just some other examples so that people can that are listening there, they hear it, but they can actually, you know, give them concrete situations of things that you've done to some people so they can kind of get a sense of,
sure,
you know, where it starts, it'd be great. So if we'll just hold, we'll be right back after this message.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dig Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, we are here today talking about natural order organizing with Helen Kornblum. And... We're back, and Helen's going to give us some examples of some things she worked with. But before we do so, Helen, I just want to insert this so I make sure we get in. If somebody's interested in your services or have some questions, how can they contact you? If you could give that information, just tell a little bit more about your business. I want to make sure we get that in because I'm sure some people are going to want to follow up with you and get more insight on this.
Okay, three very basic ways. Number one is the telephone number, and my business number is 352, that's a Gainesville area exchange, or area code, 352-871-4499. Always makes it easier when you have those duplicates, 4499. The second way is by email, and I'm naturalorder@cox.net. And the third way is by having people come by and visit me on my website, which is naturalorderorganizing.com. It's the name of full name of my business. Unfortunately, it's a long name, naturalorderorganizing.com.
It's a very intuitive name. So while it's long, it should be easy to remember. And I want to, listeners, if you do go to the website, there's actually a, show that was done.
A TV program.
I'm sorry?
It's a streaming video of a television program in which I was interviewed with one of my clients.
And I encourage those who are interested to go check out that video because I've seen it's excellent. So anything else you want to say about your business before we get into some examples?
No, except that I absolutely love it, and I have clients at all age levels. I've recently started doing much more work with senior clients, and they're wonderful to work with because of the memories and their experience. And anyone who doesn't honor that and enjoy some of it is very foolish because our senior citizens have a wealth of experience to share.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's I got a little aha on that thinking about the people that have a lot of memories in terms of pictures and boxes and videos, just organizing that so they can access it. I'm like, I want to be there when I get older. I want to reflect back on my life. And switching from the old analog world to the digital, that must be a little overwhelming. So very good insight there. How about some examples? Can you give our listeners like some kind of before and after stuff so that
well,
they get a
sense? You started to say something before that made me see a bookcase when you said dealing with something methodical that, you know, the rest of the world interprets one way but can have other uses. This is also another professor's story, and she had asked me to come in and just deal with her office. And Very often what happens is people ask me to help them get organized, but then along the way we fine-tune it to what's really bothering them.
Mm.
And other, you know, we make other changes as we go along. But the first thing was there were papers and files all over the place, and they were related to her teaching. This professor was teaching five different classes, and it's complicated scientific stuff, and there were a lot of papers per class. Now, although she was very visual, she had a wonderful file cabinet there that was already in use. It was just not in practical use for ways where she could find the files easily. And so we revamped that, and each drawer became a class. And all of the drawers had the same categories for the papers related to the class. So she had the, you know, the same types of file headings just in the different drawers related to the particular class. So we got that all set up, and there was still a lot of stuff on her desk. And but I noticed at the back of her well-sized office, there were four bookcases, and there was a fair amount of wasted space back there. Now, I was an English major. I had to get over my own problems with collecting books. So when I see a bookcase, you can imagine the thoughts that go through my head. And I saw lots of consolidation possibilities, and I didn't even know what could be purged out yet. And somehow or other, I just knew that I had at least one empty bookcase sitting back there. So if I ran into any problems with her desk, I had a resource.
Mm-hmm.
So we started talking, and one of the things she said to me was, at any given time, I have test papers and papers that have to be graded, and we have to figure out a way to get them into the filing cabinets. And I thought to myself, you know, that's probably not the best idea, because if you're visual, you need to be reminded of something that has such a, it's just so deadline-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, you know, if you look around this office, I think maybe you have potential for dealing with these papers. What about using a bookcase? And she didn't quite get it at first, and she said to me, well, you know, I don't have a lot of books. I'm hoping to get rid of some of them, but I was thinking of getting rid of two of the bookcases because I don't need them. And I said to her, maybe you ought to reconsider that, because here's a possibility. And I said, the same way you have four drawers in this file cabinet, why don't we take four of these shelves and make each shelf correspond to your class?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the shelf, you can put the different piles, the exams, and the papers, and you can hang a sign from, you don't even have to tape these things on. What you do is you take 8.5 by 11 paper, you fold it in two, and you let one half hang down
mm-hmm.
from underneath the pile. So it's a temporary sign, and you write on it, the class, the exam,
yep.
and the date you want to return it. And when you look at that, then you have to look at your scheduler and say, all right, so when am I going to fit in getting these things done?
Mm-hmm.
She caught on right away, and we coordinated those shelves to her file drawers. It cleared her desk immensely because
mm-hmm.
all those papers now went, and she always knew where they were. That had been one of her early complaints was, she piled stuff up so much that they would slip and slide into each other, and she never knew where they all were. And here was a simple, now, it's true, she had the luxury of the space, but she hadn't been using it for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a bookcase is not just for books. It can be used for other things.
It's fascinating to me how you describe that, because when you're talking about the different drawers for different classes, it's a great... Just to compare and contrast, some people do organize by category. So a drawer
mm-hmm.
would be a class. Other people might categorize differently. They might just put things to be graded in a drawer and lectures to be written in another drawer or whatever. But there's different ways to classify the information. And what I liked about it was how this person appears from a distance, that they categorize kind of by the topic. So you naturally did that, and then when you started thinking, we need to extend other things here, go into the bookcases, the same concept applied, and it seems to me that that was very workable, because that's how she naturally organizes information in her head. And then, to boot, to have that space for the things that needed to be done so it was visual. Again, paying attention to what's natural for her, and working within that to build a system that works. I just love that, because it's paying attention to what she naturally does and coming up with her solution. So that, Helen, this is awesome.
Well, it's as I said, this does stretch my powers of observation and my listening powers, because I have to learn from them first before I can even throw out suggestions that seem doable. The other case study that I have for you is a woman who was running a restaurant with her husband, and she had a side business, and I don't want to get into it too much. These are matters of confidentiality, but it had something to do with horses. And this was a very active woman, very outdoors. She really thrived being outdoors. The office suffered from a lot of problems, but, you know, getting organized is not about getting yourself perfect. First of all, there's no such thing as perfect. Being organized, in my thesaurus, means being functional, being able to find things, being able to put things away and use them, and being comfortable with them, not losing time for looking for them. So we worked on her office, and it was good enough organizing, shall we say. And then, but I noticed that she was very disgruntled about all the restaurant work, and she harped on that a lot, that the printer wasn't working properly, she had a very old computer, the software couldn't do what she wanted. But when she talked about the horse business, oh, she was happy. I mean, it obviously just made her happy. So she asked me for help with scheduling. How do you map out your time? She felt that she wasn't being productive. Well, the first thought that crossed my mind was I'd heard a lot of procrastinating going on with the restaurant business, so, yeah, she probably wasn't being productive there. And she wasn't getting enough time outside with the horses. So I brought with me one of these big desk blotter calendars, and I said to her, let's look ahead. It happened to be at the very end of 1 month, and I said, we're going to look ahead to next month. And I think I surprised her, because I said, I want you to write down all your horse-related activities on the calendar first, anything that's a standing appointment or repetition, which is a very familiar pattern when you're doing your schedule. And she plunked those down, and then she had said to me along the way that she had to hire someone to do certain things in the horse business that she could do just as well and wished that she could. And it was obvious to me that she was really chafing under having to do the payroll for the restaurant business. So I looked at the horse stuff, and then I said to her, well, now how are you going to fit the restaurant stuff in? And she said, well, that doesn't really have a pattern. And I thought that was interesting, because it means she didn't have a fixed schedule for doing the new menus or getting payroll out, et cetera. And we talked about that a little bit. And then I said to her, would you rather be doing the payroll or the horse activity? And she said to me, oh, I'd love to take the horse activity back. And I just didn't say anything then. And then she looked at me. This was a very bright woman. And she said, I could hire someone to do the payroll, couldn't I? And then I could get the horse stuff back. And I smiled and I said, yeah. I said, but before you hire anybody, I'd suggest that you figure out exactly when you want payroll done so that you have a fixed date for it. And by pulling her away from the negative stuff, that's what she was really paying attention to, she started thinking positively about the things that could get done. And, you know, one of her next questions to me was, do you have a computer person you can recommend to me so I can get this stuff fixed? Because she had the ability to do those menus quickly, and she was doing some sort of a placemat for children with games on it. It was very cute. But she didn't have the right software because her computer was too old. And the next thing I heard was that she had reversed the whole emphasis of her weeks, and she was a happy horsewoman, and the restaurant was doing enough. She was doing enough.
Wow. That's a great example of you pay attention to it differently, and all of a sudden what wasn't obvious becomes obvious.
Yeah, and also when people only concentrate on what's making them unhappy, then they lose some of that creative edge. They lose the energy to go ahead and fix something. So it's not what's stopping me from this, but what can I do to make it possible to get to something else that I really want to do?
Absolutely. Well, Helen, we've got like 40 seconds left. So, again, before we sign off, I want to thank you for coming today. And we'll probably have to have you back, show permitting, in the future just to kind of go through some more stuff, because I know this is exciting for me and I'm sure for my listeners. But with the time that we've got left, again, how can people contact you if they need to get in touch?
The name is Helen Kornblum. The business is Natural Order Organizing. My business phone is 352-871-7000. 4499. My email is naturalorder@cox.net. And my website, which has a lot of interesting...
We're actually going to be running out of time here,
okay.
So I wanted to thank you again for showing the show. And again, we'll have to see about having you back on. This was exciting.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.